نغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأنث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، at this time we usually cover different topics of fiqh, and we have gotten to the point of prayer. We were discussing adhan and then prayer and so on. But because of the approach of the season of Hajj, and that some people are going for Hajj, inshallah, we agreed to skip to that discussion, and we can go back if Allah wills and continue with our previous discussion after we are done with this. Now, also I was asked just before entering here by the Imam if we could postpone it until the discussion until after Isha, because it was not announced that we'll be talking about Hajj, and there are some other people who want to attend and who are planning to go on Hajj. So if we make a public announcement, then maybe more people benefit from this. So I told them, I promise inshallah we can talk about it after Isha, but at the same time, since already some people are here, we can start with an introduction to the subject, which after Isha we can summarize it inshallah, and then as for the practical details, we can continue with them in the forthcoming days at this time inshallah, from 7:20 or 7:30, from the adhan of Isha until Isha prayer inshallah. The virtue of Hajj and Umrah, this is well known. We had talked about it in a recent khutbah, and that is why I'm sure many people are planning to go on Hajj. For example, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Umrah ila al-Umrah kaffarat lima baynahuma wal-hajju al-mabrur laysa lahu jazaa'un ila al-jannah, which means one Umrah to the next Umrah, they expiate the sins between them. And which means one person performs Umrah and then afterwards he goes for another Umrah, that whatever sins he committed in between are expiated by his going once and again. وَالْحَجُّ الْمَبْرُورُ لَيْسَ لَهُ جَزَاءٌ إِلَّا الْجَنَّةِ, and the righteous Hajj or the sincere Hajj has no reward but Jannah, or less than Jannah. And Ibn Mas'ud, this is in Bukhari and Muslim, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَابِعُوا بَيْنَ الْحَجِّ وَالْعُمْرَةِ فَإِنَّهُمَا يَنْفِيَانِ الذُّنُوبَ وَالْفَقْرِ كَمَا يَنْفِي الْكِيرُ خَبَثَ الْحَدِيدِ وَالذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةِ وَلَيْسَ لِحَجَّةٍ مَبْرُورَةٍ ثَوَابٌ إِلَّا الْجَنَّةِ, which means continue to pray one Hajj after Umrah, to go for Hajj after Umrah, to make them in succession continuously, because they remove the sins and poverty. And poverty. Because somebody may think that if he goes for Umrah, he'll become poor because it costs too much. But he says they expel sins and poverty. Like the bellows that people used to use for cleaning metals, like the bellows clean or expel the dirt of iron and gold and silver. And there is no reward for a sincere Hajj other than Jannah. And Abu Hurairah, this hadith is authentic, it is recorded in Tirmidhi and Nasa'i. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu also reported that he heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, من حج لله عز وجل فلم يرفث ولم يفسق رجع كيوم ولدته أمه, which means whoever goes for Hajj for the sake of Allah or in obedience to Allah, and does not commit rafath or fisq. Rafath is sinning in general, or it could apply specifically to things which violate Hajj, like approaching his wife or doing things related to that while he is in Ihram. وَلَمْ يَفْسُقْ, and he did not commit sinning. Then he comes back like the day that his mother gave birth to him, which means clean of sins, like salam. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الغازي في سبيل الله والحج والمعتمر وفد الله دعاهم فأجابوه وسألهم وسألوه فأعطاهم. This one that I just read before this is recorded by Bukhari Muslim. This one that I'm reading now is recorded by Ibn Majah, and it is a good hadith. It means that Al-Ghazi fi sabilillah, the one who goes for fighting for the cause of Allah, and the one who goes for Hajj or for Umrah, those are the wafd. Wafd means like the delegation that goes to Allah Azza wa Jal. He invited them and they answered his invitation. And therefore they ask him and he gives them. So remember, when you go for Hajj and Umrah, that whoever goes, that he is part of the delegation to Allah Azza wa Jal. And therefore, since he answered, since the person who goes there is answering Allah's invitation, then if he asks Allah, Allah will give him. So if he asks with sincerity, Allah will grant him what he asks for. Hajj is wajib, is obligatory with Umrah, Hajj with Umrah, one time at least in the lifetime. So it is an obligation once in a lifetime. For every Muslim who attained puberty, who is aqil, which means sane, hur, free, and mustati', capable. So these are the conditions for being able to go to Hajj. Islam, bulugh, which means attaining puberty, aql, sanity, freedom, and capability. So if these conditions are satisfied for a person, then it is an obligation for him to go for Hajj. قال الله تعالى إن أول بيت وضع للناس الذي ببكة مباركا وهدى للعالمين فيه آيات بينات مقام إبراهيم ومن دخله كان آمنا ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين. Which means that the first house of worship that was laid for people is that which is in Mecca. It is blessed and a guidance for the peoples. In it are clear signs. There are clear signs in it. In it there is the maqam, the standing place of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Maqam Ibrahim doesn't mean like some of the ignorant people think. They call any place where one of the dead people is buried, one of the dead righteous people, or that they consider righteous, is buried, then they build a dome or something on his grave and they circle around it and they call it maqam, or sometimes they call it dariha. Maqam Sayyida Zainab, for example, the maqam. Maqam means standing point or standing place. So it doesn't mean that. And all of that, of course, goes without saying that it is prohibited and it is of the forms of shirk, joining partners with Allah. The maqam of Ibrahim doesn't mean that Ibrahim is buried there. And I don't know where the word came from, because maqam would mean the person where the person is, a place where the person is standing, not where the person is lying, unless they mean that because he is lying there, people are coming and standing and revolving around him. So it doesn't mean that in the case of Maqam Ibrahim by any means. It means the place where he was standing while he was building Al-Kaaba. So that's where Maqam Ibrahim is. Maqam Ibrahim. وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانَ آمِنًا. And whoever enters it, he is secure. Whoever enters Bayt al-Haram is secure. Allah Azza wa Jal made Mecca, all of it, secure. There is no fighting allowed in it, no hunting, and so on. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. And for Allah, or Allah has made it an obligation on the people to go for pilgrimage to the house for whoever has a way to get there, whoever is able to get there, that is, which means whoever has the ability or the capability. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. And the one who as for those who disbelieve, that Allah is in no need of all the peoples. So this is a great warning that Allah is telling, alayhi salam wa rahmatullah, that Hajj is an obligation, and if anybody who can go and does not go, then it is like kufr. It's like he is disbelieving in Allah, and Allah is in no need of those who disbelieve. Okay, so it is a warning, a clear, strong warning for those who are able and do not go. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه said that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم once gave a khutbah, and he said, يا أيها الناس إن الله قد فرض عليكم الحج فحجوا. O people, Allah has made Hajj an obligation on you, so go for Hajj. فقال رجل أكل عام يا رسول الله فسكت حتى قالها ثلاثة. A man stood, or I don't know if he stood, but a man interrupted by saying, is it every year, O Allah's Messenger? And he did not answer him. He again asked, is it every year, O Allah's Messenger? And again he did not answer. Then on the third time, he finally answered by saying, لو قلت نعم لوجبت ولو وجبت لما استطعت. If I say yes, it will become an obligation. And if it becomes an obligation, you will not be able to fulfill it. It's not easy. Just imagine people coming from China or India or the far ends of the world, South Africa, especially in the old days when there were no easy means of transportation, and they have to go for Hajj every year. Imagine 1,000 or 1,500 million Muslims going for Hajj every year. It's impossible. It is totally impossible. Even, if Allah made an obligation, they would not be able to fulfill it. So Allah would not require from us things that He knows that we cannot fulfill. So He said, if were I to say yes, it becomes an obligation and you will not be able to fulfill it. Then He said, ذروني ما تركتكم فإنما أهلك من كان قبلكم كثرة سؤالهم واختلافهم على أنبيائهم فإذا أمرتكم بأمر فأتوا منه ما استطعتم وإذا نهيتكم عن شيء فدعوه. Which means, leave me as long as I leave you. Which means, do not ask me about things that I do not forget. It's obvious that he does not forget to say if it is one every year or not. So as long as I leave you and do not say more to you, do not ask me. Ask too much. Because those who were before you, which means the Christians and the Jews, were destroyed, or what destroyed them was their plentiful asking and conflicting with their prophets. They would ask the Prophet, O Messenger, O Prophet of Allah, tell us this, tell us that, give us, is this halal, is this haram, can we do this, can we do that? So they ask for more things than has been explained to them. But then when they are told, okay, do it, they say, how can we do it? It's not possible for us. And so on. They start being reluctant to do it. And then he said, فَإِذَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِأَمْرٍ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. If I command you to do something, do as much of it as you can. وَإِذَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ شَيْءٍ فَدَعُوا. And if I prohibit you from doing something, then stay away from it. And also Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بُنِيَ الْإِسْلَامُ عَلَىٰ خَمْسِ شَهَادَةِ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة وحج البيت وصيام رمضان. Which means Islam has been built on five, which means five pillars. The Shahada, that there is no God but the true God but Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's messenger. establishing the prayer, giving zakah, pilgrimage to the house, and fasting in Ramadan. This hadith includes Hajj among the five main pillars upon which Islam stands, and that Islam does not stand without them. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, هذه عمرة استمتعنا بها فمن لم يكن عنده الهدي فليحل الحل كله فإن العمرة قد دخلت في الحج إلى يوم القيامة. Okay, he is bringing this hadith to show that Umrah is also part of the obligation of Hajj, that Umrah is also wajib on a person. So a person cannot go just for Hajj and say, I do not have to perform Umrah. No, Umrah is part of the rites of Hajj, and one has to perform Umrah at least once in his lifetime, and that will be that once which he goes for Hajj. If he wants to go more, he may, at other than the time of Hajj or on the time of other Hajj, but he should at least go once for Umrah, which goes with Hajj. That happens with Hajj. The hadith says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, this is a Umrah that istamta'na biha, which means we ended our ihram in it, and we will explain what this means later on, not today. So whoever does not have al-hadi, the sacrifice that you sacrifice during Hajj, then let him go to full ihlal, which means let him completely terminate his ihram. As I said, we explain all of this and the meanings later on, inshallah. And that is because Umrah has entered in Hajj until the Day of Judgment. This is recorded by Nasa'i, Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah. It is authentic. And in some reports it says that he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, intertwined his fingers like this, and he said, Umrah has entered in Hajj till the Day of Judgment, which means they are indivisible, they have to be together. So you cannot have Hajj without Umrah. Hajj needs Umrah. But you can have Umrah without Hajj. Hajj cannot be without Umrah. Al-Sabi bin Ma'bid قال أتيت عمر رضي الله عنه فقلت يا أمير المؤمنين إني أسلمت وإني وجدت الحج والعمرة مكتوبين علي فأهللت بهما فقال هديت لسنة نبيك. Also one of the Tabi'in called As-Sabi bin Ma'bid, he said, I came to Umar رضي الله عنه and I said to him, O commander of the believers, I have embraced Islam, and after that I found, which means I learned, that Hajj and Umrah are ordained for me, which means they are an obligation on me. So after I became Muslim, I learned that I have to perform Hajj and Umrah. So I made ihlal with both, which means I declared that I am making Hajj and Umrah together. And that means when he studies ihram, and again we'll be explaining this inshallah when we get to the description of ihram. So he is telling him, is this accept correct? So it seems that he asked this during Hajj. Probably Umar was in Hajj, and this man came to him and asked him if what he did was right. So Umar told him, Hudita li sunnati nabiyik. You have indeed been guided to the sunnah of your Prophet, which means what you have done is correct. That's how it should be done. Okay, how about... Now, all of this was to show the virtues of Hajj and Umrah, and that they are their ruling, that they are obligatory. Now, how about the little child and the slave? Are they required to perform Hajj? And if they perform Hajj, is their Hajj acceptable? Hajj is not required for the child or for the insane person either, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Rufi'a al-qalam 'an thalatha, 'an al-majnun hatta yufiq, wa 'an an-na'im hatta yastayqidh, wa 'an as-sabiy hatta yahtalim," which means the pen has been raised off three people. the insane person until he regains his sanity. I think we mentioned this hadith before. The insane until he regains his sanity, the sleeping person until he wakes up, and the young person or the young boy, child, until he attains puberty. So, as long as the child is not at the age of puberty, then he is not required to perform Hajj. And if he died before reaching puberty, then it's not like somebody died without fulfilling an obligation, because he did not get to the age where he becomes mukallaf, where he becomes commissioned to perform the obligations. Also, Hajj is not required for a slave, because he's incapable, because he's busy serving his master. And of course, I mean, usually whenever there's discussion about slaves, we do not have to dwell much on it because of its irrelevance at large in our time. There are no slaves and there are no fights in which the Muslim Ummah is taking captives from the non-Muslims to turn them to slaves who will serve the Muslims until they are freed after that. So this issue as a whole is not relevant except as a completion of the discussion, because it's mentioned in the books of fiqh, but in our present time it is not relevant because of the weakness of the Muslims. وَإِذَا حَجَّ الصَّبِيُّ أَوِ الْعَبْدُ صَحَّ حَجُّهُمَا وَلَا يُزِئُهُمَا عَنِ الْفَرِيضَةِ إِذَا بَلَغَ الصَّبِيُّ أَوْ آتِقَ الْعَبْدُ. Which means when a young child performs Hajj, or if a slave performs Hajj, then this is correct. It's permissible, it's acceptable for them, from them as Hajj. But does it now? After that, when the child reaches puberty, or when the slave is freed, do they have to perform another Hajj? The answer is yes. That Hajj that they performed when they were not mukallafin, when they were not commissioned or required to perform it, counts for them as only a voluntary Hajj, and they have to do the Hajjat al-Islam or the obligatory Hajj. The reason for this is the following two ahadith. The first one reported by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, that a woman raised a child to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Hajj. In Hajj al-Wada, she raised a child to him. She said, "O Allah's Messenger, Ali hadha Hajj, Ali hadha Hajj," which means, "This child, does his Hajj count?" قَالَ نَعْمْ وَلَكِ أَجْرُ. He said, "Yes, and you get a reward for that." So the child, it counts for him as Hajj, and the mother, or the parent, whoever is the guardian who takes him to Hajj, he gets a reward for taking him to Hajj. Okay? But as we said, this does not count as Hajjat al-Islam, as the required Hajj of Islam for the person, because Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu reported that the first hadith that I just mentioned is in Sahih Muslim. The next one that I'm reading now is in recorded by Bayhaqi, and it is authentic also. Ibn Abbas reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ayyuma sabiyun hajja thumma balagha fa alayhi hajjatun ukhra." Any child who performs Hajj and then he attains puberty, and he has to perform another Hajj. وَأَيُّمَا عَبْدٌ حَجَّ ثُمَّ عَتِقَ فَعَلَيْهِ حَجَّةٌ أُخْرَى. And any slave who performs Hajj and then is freed, then he has to perform another Hajj. Now, the capability in regard to Hajj, because we say, Allah Azza wa Jal says, مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. Whoever can find a way to it, whoever can reach it. So this capability, how we define it? How we define the capability that makes Hajj obligatory for some people? الاستطاعة تتحقق بالصحة وملك ما يكفيه لذهابه وإيابه فاضلا عن حاجته وحاجة من تلزمه نفقته وبأمن الطريق. Which means the capability is defined as follows: that the person first is healthy, has the health that will enable him to go for Hajj. Second, he has enough money for him to go to use it for to go for Hajj and to come back for the full trip of Hajj. In addition, on top of whatever money he needs to spend on those for whom he is responsible. So he cannot go for Hajj and he has a wife and 9 children, or 3 wives and 27 children, and he says, Alhamdulillah, I have $1,500 price of the ticket round trip and $100 for Hajj there, that's enough. He cannot say that, because he has to make sure that there is enough money to support his wife and his children in his absence, or other people, if he is also supporting a father, a sister, some grandchildren, etc. Whoever he is in charge of, then he has to make sure that he has provided for their or made provisions for their support while he goes on his trip for Hajj.
يعني كنت هو حجته مقبولة، ولكن الحجة المضبوطة وقت اللي بيتزوج بعد التزوج يعني بيكمل حجته، بيكمل دينه يعني. ما بعرف على كل الله
يعني هو ما لها علاقة صحيح، بس ما لها علاقة، لأنه الواحد إذا عنده المال واجب عليه الحج فورا على الفور.
بعدين إذا كان عنده أولاد صغار شيخ،
يلا بعدنا بنحكي. لازم أول شيء أمن نفقتهم قبل ما يروح.
أيوة
لا شك.
بعدين يأمن نفقتهم ويأمن يعني تربيتهم بغيبهم.
طبعا يعني لازم يكون في نفقة كافية ومال كافي لهم يعني في غياب كل. The last thing that you mentioned is that the road, the way should be secure. Like, you know, in old times where there were way, if he takes certain road or goes in a certain way, then there will be highway robbers or, you know, fierce animals or things like that, which makes it impossible to go. So in that case, well, let's say the Muslims are surrounded, like in Kashmir or some other places, by the enemies, and that if somebody tries to go for Hajj, most likely he will be killed. Let's say it is like that. Then in that case, he is not obliged to go for Hajj. So the three conditions, the istita'a or the capability, is fulfilled by three things: the possessing, first the health, as we said, that he should have the health to go for Hajj, and second, the money, the extra money over whatever is needed to support those whom he is in charge of while he is gone. And third, that the way should be safe. His way to Hajj should be safe and secure. As for the health, it has, of course, everything of these has an evidence. The health is, the evidence for it is the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that a woman from Khat'am said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, إن أبي أدركته فريضة الحج فريضة الله في الحج شيخا كبيرا لا يستطيع أن يستوي على الراحلة أفأحج عنه؟ قال حجي عنه. A woman from the tribe of Khat'am said to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم during حجة الوداع, she said, Oh Allah's Messenger, my father has the obligation of Hajj has caught up with him, which means probably he embraced Islam around that time. So when he embraced Islam, he was so old and Hajj became obligatory for him. While he is a very old man, she said, and he cannot sit steady on the animal, on his riding animal, so he cannot travel, in other words. He is not healthy to travel. So can I perform Hajj for him, which means on his behalf. قَالَ حُجِّي عَنْهُ. He said, yes, perform Hajj on his behalf. So this shows that once the person, if the person does not have the health that enables him to perform Hajj, then he is not required to perform Hajj. As for having enough money to support his family and his dependents, if she doesn't have a mahram, if she doesn't have a mahram to go with her to Hajj, we mentioned the conditions required in general for man or woman, the istita'ah, the capability, which involves three things. As for the woman, she has one additional condition, which is that she needs a husband or a mahram to be with her. If she cannot find one, then she is incapable, and therefore Hajj is not an obligation for her. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, لا يخلون رجل بامرأة إلا ومعها ذو محرم ولا تسافر المرأة إلا مع ذي محرم, which means, let not a man be alone with another woman, with a woman, without a mahram with her, a mahram of hers with her. So khulwa means to be alone in a secluded situation, where, like in a room behind closed doors, or not necessarily in a room, they could be in a park or some place where they have privacy. So this may not happen, that a man and a woman are together without a mahram for the woman present. And he continues, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a woman, let not a woman travel except with a mahram, the mahram. So a man stood and said, Ya Rasulullah, inna imra'ati kharajat hajja, wa inni iktatabtu fi ghazwati kaza wa kaza, faqala intaliq fa hujja ma'a imra'atik. So a man said, Oh Allah's Messenger, my wife is going for Hajj, is planning to go on Hajj, and I have already signed up to go in such and such fighting, one of the battles that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was assigning people to go in. So he said, I already have signed my name to go with one of those fightings. He said, "In taliq fa hujja ma amra'atik." Then go and perform Hajj with your wife, which means we free you from your commitment to go in that fighting. Go and hajj, and perform Hajj with your wife. الحج على الفور يجب على من استطاع المبادرة بالحج. It's obligatory for one who is capable to perform Hajj immediately. He cannot say, I'll do it next year or the year after or the year after. Once the conditions, the requirements for capability are present, then it becomes an obligation for him immediately, and he has no excuse not to go. If he is capable, then there is no other excuse for him. Like, say, for example, I want to wait until I finish a degree, or I want to wait until I get some more money, or to have to get married first, or to have a second wife, or, you know, many of the excuses that people make. All of it is not allowed. So الحج على الفور يجب على من استطاع المبادرة بالحج على من استطاع أن يبادر بالحج لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أراد الحج فليتعجل. Whoever wants to go for Hajj, let him hurry. فإنه قد يمرض المريض, because a person may fall sick. وتضل الضالة, and he may lose things, he may lose money, he may lose his animal that he wants to ride on, etc. So if he has this with him now, he should go now. وَطَعْرُدُ الْحَاجَةِ, and situations of necessity may come up later on. So if a person can go for a Hajj, let him do it. And never delay it. He says, next year and the year after and the year after. Who knows what will happen next year and the year after and the year after. And if a person was capable and did not do it, then it is in his neck on the Day of Judgment. Allah will ask him, why didn't you go for Hajj and you were able to? The next discussion is al-mawaqit. Al-mawaqit jama' miqat kamawa'id wa mi'ad. وهي مواقيت زمانية ومواقيت مكانية. The appointed places and times for and that relates to ihram. The places where a person starts his ihram. These are called the mawaqit, and ihram will be defined later. As for مواقيت الزمانية, the time related مواقيت, it is they are mentioned as is mentioned in the ayah. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ الْأَهِلَّةِ قُلْ هِيَ مَوَاقِيتُ لِلنَّاسِ وَالْحَجِّ. They ask you about the crescents. Say they are mawaqit. They are timers for people and for hajj. So this is miqat for hajj. It is a time-related miqat or appointment or something like that. So it is as we said, there are two. There's appointed times and appointed places for performing Hajj, and the appointed times are related to the moon. And we know that Hajj starts on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. The 8th of Dhul Hijjah is when the full rise of Hajj starts. And we just started today. We are on the 10th almost of Dhul Qadah. The ninth of Dhul Qadah. The night of the 10th. So tomorrow is the 10th of Dhul Qadah. So in about a month or 4 weeks, what's today? It is today is Monday. So Monday, 4 weeks from today, will be the beginning of Hajj this year. Approximately. I mean, it could be one day off. But approximately it is Monday, 4 weeks from today, that we'll be assuming that this month, most likely. Because that is assuming that last month Shawwal was 29 days and this month is 30 days. Because usually it's 29, 30, 29, 30. So if we assume this, then Monday, 4 weeks from today, is the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. And is the first day of Hajj. So how is this determined? It is determined by the crescents. The crescents tell us when is the first day of the month, and based on that, when is the 8th day on which Hajj is started. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Al-Hajju Ashhuru Ma'lumat. Pilgrimage is performed on specific or known months. And Ibn Umar said, Ashhuru Al-Hajji Shawwalu wa Dhul Qa'dah wa Ashhurun min Dhil Hijjah. He said the months of pilgrimage are Shawwal, the month that we just passed, and Dhul Qa'dah, the month that we are in now, and the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. These are the days of Hajj according to Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. Now, it doesn't mean that you perform Hajj on these days. It means you can start your ihram from Shawwal. But the actual rites of Hajj, or one can perform his Umrah early, and you know, stay in Tamattu, as we will describe later, until the 8th of the Hijjah, where the actual rites of Hajj start. And then, I don't know why he said the 10 days of the Hijjah, when we know that Ayyam al-Tashriq, or the days when the stones are thrown, are after that, are the three more days after the day of Eid. The 11th, 12th, and 13th. Ibn Abbas, but it is an authentic hadith or report to Ibn Umar. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, "Min al-sunnah alla yuhrama bil-hajj illa fi ashhur al-hajj," which means it is recommended that a person does not start his ihram for Hajj except in the months of Hajj. So one cannot go like in Ramadan and perform Umrah and say, this is my Umrah for Hajj, and I'm staying until Dhul Hijjah, and then I will continue my Hajj then. This is not correct. The correct way, as we said, is to start from, the earliest you can start is from Shawwal, from last month, the month following Ramadan. المواقيت المكانية, the place or location related appointed things or appointed places are the places from which the ihram is started. And inshallah we can discuss them tomorrow. There are places where a person cannot declare his ihram except there. And depending on which direction the person is coming from, north, south, east, west, there are different mawaqit or boundaries for different directions. And they are all specified clearly in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So inshallah we will discuss them in tomorrow's discussion. And as I said, if you know anybody who is planning to go for a hajj or is interested in this subject, we will be discussing it at 7:15 approximately tomorrow before Isha, between Maghrib and Isha. SubhanAllah, alhamdulillah, Isha, and Subhanallah. Now,
are you? She had a country,
yeah, it's wrong. It's wrong that a woman. Well, if a woman. Okay, the question, what if a woman goes for Hajj without Mahram? Is the Hajj acceptable? And like as they do in some Arab countries, what they do is the women go with each other and they say, we are a group of women, nobody can harm us, we are all protecting each other. This is wrong because you heard the text of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if a woman travels without mahram, she is committing a sin. Similarly, you know, some people say, I don't know where they brought this bid'ah from, or this, you know, I don't know if you can even call it bid'ah. It is a woman declares brotherhood with a stranger man, like her cousin or her neighbor or whatever. So they say, he is my brother and I am his sister. So now he is my mahram, we can go and travel for a hajj together. That's what they do sometimes, and they do it in some Muslim countries. So this is all wrong. But suppose a woman travels in this under this pretense or without mahram at all, even though it doesn't allow it, the country there doesn't allow a woman coming without mahram, but they find ways of you know, people to go around it. Suppose a woman goes without mahram and performs hajj. Is the hajj acceptable or not? The answer is, we do not know of a proof that it is not acceptable. So it is acceptable, but she is committing sin by traveling without a mahram. So she is sinful by traveling without a mahram, but her hajj, there is no proof that the mahram is a condition for the hajj. It's a requirement, but it's not a condition. Allah.
You said in order for the hajj to be accepted, you have to go and not commit any sin, not a problem. So then,
oh, you mean, yeah, that means, what I mean is that hadith means that the hajj which abrogates the sins, the complete hajj, the perfect hajj, is the one in which no form of sinning is committed. But if a person does commit a sin, it doesn't mean, depending on what sin he commits, it doesn't necessarily mean that the hajj is totally annulled. It could mean that its ajr is reduced. Some sins, of course, totally demolish the hajj. Allahu Akbar. No.
I've read somewhere that after a certain age, a woman can go without a mahram.
There is no proof for that. The only thing about age, as is mentioned in Surah Al-Nur, that for women who are qawaid, which means the women who are not expecting to be desired by men anymore, they are so old that men do not desire them. وَالْقَوَاعِدُ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ أَلَّتِي لَا يَرْجُوَ نِكَاحًا, the sitting women who do not expect to be any kind of marriage. فَلَيْسَ عَلَيْهِنَّ جُنَاحٌ أَن يَضَعْنَ ثِيَابُهُنَّ, then there is no harm for them to leave some of their clothing, which means she doesn't have to have the full jilbab and hijab, the very strict one that is for the younger woman. She may be lenient or not as strict in regard to her hijab. غَيْرَ مُتَبَرِّجَاتٍ بِزِينَةٍ, provide that they do not decorate themselves and make them beautify themselves to be attractive to the men. وَأَنْ يَسْتَعْفَفْنَ خَيْرًا لَهُنَّ, and still it is better for them to not do that. So, but that is in regard to hijab. It doesn't talk about travel and mahram and things like that. Allahu a'lam.
What about a woman?
Husband of their sister. Can she go with him?
No, he's not her mahram. He's not mahram. The husband of her sister is not a mahram for her. She cannot marry him. He's muharram for her, which means she may not marry him as long as he's married to her sister, but he's not. No. No, no, because he's not her mahram. And she may not be in khulwa with him. She may not uncover her hair to him. A mahram is a person that she can uncover her hair, show him her zina without trouble, like his daughter or his sister. And this does not apply in this case. Anything else? هذا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أما بعد, إن شاء الله we continue our discussion. Where is that? Of Hajj. And as an overview that will help me personally remember some of the terms, translation of the terms, because I'm using as the source of discussion an Arabic text, and sometimes one needs to sit and ponder about the meanings of some terms because you translate them. But I have here a translation that I made a while ago, which is in a question answer form, and it probably is not impeccable, it may have some mistakes in it. But in general, it is very close to the Sunnah, inshallah, 99%, I hope. And it will help us know some of the terms and definitions and so on. So I'll go over some of it now, and then maybe later on go back to the discussion that we were following. Question. What is Hajj? I'll mention answers. Sometimes I will stop and see if somebody else can give the answer to the question. What is Hajj? It is to visit Mecca with the intention of worshipping Allah by performing the prescribed rites of pilgrimage. That's definition of Hajj. Now, next question. What is the meaning of Umrah? What's the meaning of Umrah? It is to visit Allah's sacred house, the Kaaba, and to perform certain rites of worship there. That's Umrah. What is the ruling of Umrah in Islam? We mentioned this yesterday. You remember the answer. What is it? Is Umrah optional or voluntary or wajib or recommended? Optional. So a Muslim may pass all of his life without performing Umrah. Okay. Remember when we said that Umrah is part of Hajj now until the Day of Judgment? Can you perform Hajj without Umrah? Is Hajj optional? No, it's an obligation for those who can perform it. And therefore Umrah is as well. So Umrah, it is required at least once in a lifetime for those who can afford to perform it. Alaykum salam. Mention the merits of Hajj and Umrah. We mentioned many of them yesterday. We mentioned, for example, that performing consecutive Umrahs abrogate all sins committed in between. And a sincere Hajj or a pure Hajj has no less reward than Jannah. Okay. Now we skip to the ruling of Hajj. What is the ruling of Hajj or the hukum of Hajj in Islam? It is wajib, of course, for those who can afford it. When was Hajj mandated? When did Hajj become obligatory in Islam? This we did not cover, so I will just mention it was mandated on the 9th Hijri year, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah in which Allah says, وَلِلَّهِ, the one that we mentioned yesterday, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. Pilgrimage is a duty. Men owe to Allah for those who can afford the journey. Okay. What if a person dies without performing Hajj, even though it became required for him before his death? Before distributing his inheritance, that is what to do, you know, in regard to him. This is according to some scholars, of course. Before distributing the inheritance, it becomes mandatory to take away from it enough money to send someone to represent him in Hajj. This, as I said, is according to some scholars, and this is a controversial issue, so we do not need to go into the controversy. Okay. Mention five conditions that must be fulfilled in a person in order to make Hajj mandatory for him. We mentioned them yesterday. What? Adult, which means he should attain puberty. He was saying sanity. Okay, ability. That's part of the ability, because the ability, we said, it has three elements. Ability, that also is part of ability. Freedom, that he should be free, not a slave. And can a kafir perform Hajj? So this is an obvious condition. He must be a Muslim. So these are the five conditions. Okay. The meaning of ability in Hajj, that is what we mentioned yesterday, and we said that it has three elements. That the person should be healthy and has the material ability as well. The wealth-wise, he should have the money to go for Hajj. Okay. Is Hajj required from one who still has to pay debts for Allah or to the people, like zakah, or to the people, like he owes money to people? Is Hajj obligatory? The answer, no. It won't be required from him until he pays off his debts. But the question is it prohibited? And the answer, no. He may go for Hajj. Some people think it's prohibited, that one who has debts, who owes money, he cannot go for Hajj. The answer, he may go, but he has to make arrangements for the paying off his debts. For a person who cannot meet his financial obligations towards his family and children, choose one of the three. Hajj is still required, it is not required, it is optional. It's not required. B. The answer is B. Right. Just want to make sure that I have the right answer there. Okay. How can a very old person or a person with a severe chronic illness perform Hajj or offer Hajj? Such a person is not required to perform Hajj in person. If he can afford it, he should pay someone else to go to Hajj as his representative, or one of his children, as we mentioned yesterday in the situation of the woman from Khatham. What is the Islamic legislation in regard to a woman having a mahram during Hajj, which means, in other words, is having a mahram required or not? And we said it is required to have a mahram. We brought the hadith yesterday. Okay. What if a woman cannot find a mahram? Then she is not capable. And she would be of those who are not capable, and she may send someone to represent her, unless she expects that maybe the next year or at some point she will have a mahram.
But there are certain groups going for the Hajj. She can go.
No, she still has to have a mahram. We discussed this after you left. Even if, you know, like some people say, if she goes with a group of trustworthy women, then this is okay. Or if she goes with the imam of the masjid and some other people who are able to protect her, then she is fine. But the answer is no, because the hadith was clear in that even a man was traveling for jihad and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him to not go, and to go rather with his wife for hajj. And he said a woman may not travel without a mahram. Now, doesn't have money for her child, for her son, so she's not capable. Same thing. She needs to have enough money for herself and for the mahram who's going for it with her. Who is considered a mahram for a woman? Her husband or any other male relative that she is permanently forbidden from marrying because of family, marriage, or nursing relationships, foster relationships. Which means she cannot go with a person who, to whom she is temporarily prohibited from marrying, like her sister's husband. She cannot marry her sister's husband unless he divorces her sister, but still he doesn't count as her mahram. Okay, what are the months of Hajj? They are Shawwal, Dhul-Qa'dah, and Dhul-Hijjah, as we mentioned yesterday, and this is from the statement of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah. Is it permissible to start ihram for Hajj before the months of Hajj? To start the ihram for Hajj before the month of Hajj? No, such ihram is not correct or acceptable. So one cannot say, I am starting my ihram for Hajj in Ramadan. This won't be acceptable. Shawwal, the month after that, is acceptable. Is it permissible to delay some of the deeds of Hajj, such as Tawaf al-Ifadah, the Tawaf of coming down from Arafah, till after the end of Dhul-Hijjah? Because we said the month of Hajj or Shawwal, Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hijjah. Now, if somebody finished everything in Hajj except the last part of it, Tawaf al-Ifadah, can he delay it until the month of Dhul-Hijjah is over? And the answer is no, it is not permissible without an excuse. He needs an excuse for that. Like, for instance, a woman who was planning to perform it on the 20th or 22nd of Dhul-Hijjah, but then suddenly she got her menses. Or a woman who delivered a baby on the 20th, on the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, then she cannot do it until after the end of the month. The months of Hajj are, choose one of the three. What is the definition of the month of Hajj that we just describe them or mention them? The month of Hajj are A. the days on which the deeds of Hajj are performed. B. any time that a Muslim decides to go out for Hajj. C. the months on which the ihram for Hajj is possible. Which of the three? It's number three, that a person may make ihram for Hajj only during the month of Hajj. What are the Umrah now? What are the pillars of Umrah? Because as we know that Umrah is a rukun, is a major part of Hajj, and we want to know, if we understand Umrah, we understand a major portion of the knowledge of Hajj. What are the pillars of Umrah? They are three: Ihram, Tawaf, Sa'i. That's it. Three parts, three pillars for Umrah: Ihram, Tawaf, and Sa'i. When a person performs these three, he is finished with Umrah, or he has fulfilled the pillars of Umrah. But there could be some obligation that he may have missed in the process. Okay. Now the miqats. The miqats. What are the miqats for Hajj? The miqats of Hajj, they are, these are certain locations that the Messenger ﷺ specified people going to Mecca for Hajj or for Umrah should start their ihram at the miqat that falls along their way. They should not pass the miqat without ihram. They should not pass the miqat without ihram. Okay, let's change the tables finished.